Hey, good morning, everyone. How are you doing? Good, excellent. Good morning, good morning. Hey, I want to invite a few people, a few friends up here this morning. It's my birthday, so I made it easy on me, selfishly. But just know we also just got back from Honduras. And we wanted to share a little bit of with you guys what all took place. But I think it's good for us to see ourselves in the story. So I wanted you to hear from some of the team that went to Honduras in light of our series that we are in. So if you remember, we are in What's Your Role? There it is. There it is. What's Your Role? This is our crucifixion, resurrection to Pentecost series. And so there's 7 weeks. That's what Pente is, a 7-week series. It's 49 days till after the resurrection. You got a 50-day post-resurrection. Then Pentecost comes. And so anyway, that's a whole other story. I don't want to wear you down. The main part of this story is the disciples were wandering around during that season, wondering, is Jesus really... was he the Messiah, right? And there, what do we do from here? And some of them go back to fishing. We saw that Peter definitely, and Andrew, his brother, went back to fishing, to their old ways of doing things. Anybody ever met Christ and things just didn't transform right off the bat and you go back to doing things the old way? Only me? Oh, okay. Well, there's a few honest people. The rest of you are here to become honest today. This is good news. I'm glad I'm here with you. And so I want to remind you, because we're talking about Peter a little bit through this, that failure isn't final. Failure isn't final. We do things, we go through things, and man, we're trying to figure out how to walk this life out with Christ. And sometimes we take on this attitude or this thought, these lies, that man, I failed again. And again. And again. And I think we forget that Jesus understands us right where we are. No matter where we are in our journey with the Lord, where we are in our journey in life in general, even if you haven't met the Lord. And so that's the topic of the conversation. Failure isn't final. And I want you to carry this idea that Jesus doesn't cancel us for our failure. No matter what culture may begin to show you or teach you, Jesus does not cancel us for our failure. And usually he understands the heart of humanity, that it's in our rock bottom that we're actually willing to learn. And some people think, oh, they're hitting rock bottom. And from my own experience, I've realized, great, they're finally hitting rock bottom. You know, some people try to perform through that. They try to act as if they're not. If we'll just really humble ourselves and realize, man, I am at rock bottom, that's when Jesus usually speaks the loudest to us. I think Peter was at rock bottom whenever he denounced Christ 3 times. And so we want to show you some pictures today as we're talking. This will probably be in the background for a little bit. So you can watch that, listen to us, whatever the case may be. But I wanted to ask these questions, from their experience and some of their past scenarios in life. And one of those questions is this: before this trip, you don't have to mention it, but was there a failure in your life that caused you to question God's ability to use you or desire to use you? But more importantly, how did this mission experience change that perspective? Terry, if I know my brother Terry, he's like, oh my gosh, yes. And well, before you answer this question, how many of us are more concerned about what we did and our failures than what God has done post-failure? Okay, here we go. Let me set you up with that.
So one of the things that dealing with guilt and shame because of when we grow up in church, it's like we have this preconceived idea of what things are supposed to be and how they're supposed to look. And one of those things was evangelism. And so second day, I think we were there, we go on street evangelism. Well, fear just, just got all over me. It's like, how am I going to deal with this? I've never had to do this before. And you have this idea of a street preacher you're all going to hell, you know, and that's what's rolling around in your head. But it wasn't like that at all. It was just showing the love of Jesus, just going out there, having a conversation with someone, and then just, hey, can we pray with you about something? It's something heavy on you. And even one of the pictures they showed was just a gentleman, right? I mean, 30 minutes after we're there, he shows up and he's got a mass on his stomach from an infection. And we just begin to love on him and pray for him, just pray for healing. And so that was just one of those things, just overcoming that fear of man. Mostly it's, you know, but it was just great to overcome it.
Yeah, that's good. Allie?
Okay, for me, I'm loud. For me, I was, prior to the mission trip, I was really struggling in the motherhood area. And like, just like really struggling to communicate and understand my daughter, Naomi. She's 9, going on 16. And I was like she has all the attitude, and it's only towards me. It's not towards Nathan. She loves Nathan, but but day one, same. We go into street evangelism, and Naomi is a part of the group too, and she is all in. Like, I see her, and she's loving on the kids, and we get divided, and she goes with the other group, and we go separate ways. But at the end of the day, I hear that she's been praying for people, and she's been ministering to, you know, the people in the streets. And I think, you know, sometimes as parents, we were like, we're not doing anything right. But just seeing that and hearing and just seeing her really, like, joyful, like, praying for everyone. It was a big reassurance for me. Hey, Allie, you are, you know, you are doing a good job as a mom. You are teaching them. Thank you, Danny. You are teaching them, you know, how to love another as well. And that's an example that we are setting. So, yeah, that was...
That's really good. Thank you for sharing that. I'm going to add a few more questions in there. That's one of my favorite moments as well, one of two. Another at the crusade, I'm just going to throw it in there. I was telling some of the guys earlier, when after the off time of the offering, it was an offering for the night, whatever, and the Hispanic church, churches had worked through the crowd. Anyway, Nathan comes up to me, and he goes, Daddy, I wanted to give my money. And so I said, oh, great, buddy, what do you have? He goes, he pulled out, he had a quarter. I'm like, cool, we're going to find them then. We're finding these people. We went over and found it, and he put it in there. That right there lit me up to see my son come and say, hey, I want to give my money to the Lord. And not only that, all he had. So my daughter praying and my son wanting to give back to the Lord all that he had, is just, those right there are things that, generational things that we're trying to set up for our family. And so it is working in light of everything else that we may see. How about this? What did you guys personally, what did you learn personally about God's grace and your identity while ministering in Honduras? Shauna, you go. Stephanie, follow up.
So I think Allie and I tallied up. I think this was probably my 10th trip. And each trip is different. And you take a little bit from each of those trips. And going back and reflecting on them, you know, because like Terry, I'm timid when it comes to that outward expression of stepping out and praying for people. But what I've seen in just kind of looking back is God's grace on me, us, doesn't matter where you are in your walk with Christ, that we are a vessel. And that's really what came to mind is that we are merely vessels of the Lord to share the love of Christ with others. And it doesn't matter where you are. If you are one day in Christ, you are further along than somebody that isn't. And so just walking out and not being fearful of it, not being fearful of man, and not, you know, it's like that's pride and self-reflection. It's not what, and that's not what the Lord wants from us. So it's a constant battle for me just to get over that and know that I'm there for His purpose, not my purpose, and to love on people no matter where they're at. So
that's good, Pastor Stephanie.
This could be a sermon, so I won't make one out of it. But in the space of grace, when we're learning to walk out even the giftings of the Lord, we can sometimes misplace things or elevate certain things over other things. And the Lord has continued to show me that love is always first. So prophecy can come in, healing can come in, all these things can come in, but they have to be so wrapped in love. And His power actually comes through love. And that not to evaluate a healing based on a something that you can't see or that you can see. So I can be able to see a healing, but can I see a mended heart? Maybe not. And so this love factor is very, very true. And it's very real. So the grace around that, I'll get to it, is while we're street ministering, love shows up. And love is what breaks through these barriers that allows people to go, oh, I'm not a project. They actually care for me. Like when you carry the heart of the Father into these spaces, and then especially at the crusade, we have a team that's ministering, and you can see some of the pictures. There's a large team. Well, sometimes there might be two people per person you're praying for, and the Lord, it's like I don't have to be in the mix. He's taught me that. And he took me to the crowd, and in that is where I had to step through like boldness and be brave, because only with His grace can grace do the work in the crowd without an interpreter.
That's really good. Mm-hmm. Sometimes His grace just starts to settle our identity, right, a little bit. I want to ask you this, Terry got into it a little bit, but where's the time that you saw God and felt God and experienced God move powerfully, whether it's through healing or prophecy, maybe words of knowledge, anything in that area that you're like, wow, I'm just in the zone. I've stepped into something supernatural here, or I stepped into an environment, and He just, like you said, naturally moved. Who would like to go first? There you go, Terry. Allie, get him the Kleenex, please.
Well, Honduras, as well as Brazil, you always wonder, am I good enough? You know, by golly, am I good enough? Can they see me? Am I going to be able to perform? And it's not about that at all. It's just that, God, I'm here by myself. I've done everything I know physically what to do. You know, I've prepared. But God always shows up. He always shows up in these situations, just in healing and emotional healing. It was just amazing to me. Like, we had this one girl that would just hug people, and I'm not talking about a 3-second hug. I'm talking about a good minute or 2 minutes.
A bear just, hug.
Yes, just continue to hold on. I said, man, you have a ministry of hug. And she would just hang on to him. But as she was just loving on him, hugging on him, you could just see just tears. And then, you know, it would kind of flow away, and then it would turn into joy. And you could just see that these people they just needed to be loved on. You know, bottom line, they just needed the love of Jesus. And I don't know if it was you or somebody, but they just said, look at your hands. He says, those are the hands of Jesus. You're literally touching people with the hands of Jesus.
And that's good. Allie, you got another example?
Yeah, that's good. Just piggyback on that, the same girl, Kristen, shout out to her, in Colorado. Yes, shout out to Kristen, Colorado. We were ministering in the streets, and she you know, gave, embraced a girl and, you know, bear hug. She just hugged her for 5 minutes, more than that. And she noticed she had, like her skin was, like, eczema kind of, but, like burn kind of looking, very dry skin. And it was her birthday that day. She was turning 5. And so she comes out. The mom goes get her. She comes out of the house. She hugs her. We notice her skin. And we pray for her right there, like the whole group. But Kristen, she stayed back. And she said, Ali, can you help me translate? I want to translate. Will you translate this? I want to put some saliva. I want to, like, touch her and put saliva on her skin. And I thought that was weird. I was like, how am I going to translate this? Like, right? Like, I don't know. But, yeah, like, kind of like, can I spit on you and then rub it on your... Okay. But I am doing it. I am being obedient because it's my word of the year. And so I am translating what she's saying to me. And I'm, you know, noticing the girl is, like, you know, letting her, but just confused, right? And but then she started praying and she just rubbing on her hands and her face and touching her hair too, because her hair was really dry, you can see. And we stay there, we prayed, and I just started feeling the love of the Lord for this little girl and what Tristan was just ministering to her. And long story short, you want to see the miracle, right? You want to see that it's clear that everything is going away and that she's healed, and you want to see that. And I didn't. I didn't see that, and we didn't, but we left. And by the end, while we were walking at the end of the street, I look back, and the girl, Dad, she is happy. She is just playing around, and she is just going to her neighbor's house, and she's playing. And I just felt like she was healed because she was kept in her house towards, you know, hiding from her condition, and now she's outside. And she's playing, and she's happy. And so I felt like the Lord said, sometimes, Ali, you are not going to see healing physically, but something happens inside that you get healed from. So
good. Yeah, I want to add to that, too. Ali and I were able to, in the park, minister to a young lady. She and her mom, I think, were there. And I was just, you know, it's one of those moments when you feel a prompting of the Lord. A lot of times we run from that, like, nope, I'm not saying that. You know, you're at the cashier or the gas station, and there's that awkward moment where you're locking eyes with the person on the other side of the gas pump, and you're like, oh, gosh. And then the Lord tells you to do something. You jump back in your car, and you're like, I'm not, no, please, no. And then you drive off, and you're like, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. Please give me another chance. You know, anybody ever been through that? Well, knowing that moment and those moments, I try to veer away from having to do the repentance, and, Lord, please give me another chance. Just act on it. So that starts to cue you into, this is a moment. And so Ali and I were talking to this young lady, and Ali was telling me she had some reflux and gastrointestinal issues. And, you know, when you know it's one of those moments, and Pastor Stephanie does a great job of training us pre-trip and it really through any kind of leadership processes. But we know, okay, there's God wants to do something in a moment. And in the same way, we were ministered to this lady, this girl, and asking her if anything had happened. When did it start? Had anything been going on? And it's always no. You know, we never want to talk about our stuff. Then finally, at the same season that it started 4 years ago, she goes, oh, well, you know what? My uncle did get murdered. Oh, okay, well, that's something. You know, yes, something did happen. So we just kind of walked her through grieving. Grieving is important. It's healthy. And forgiving all kind of different ranges. But we also asked her, when's the last time you cried? I asked her, did you cry during that time? She goes, oh yeah, a lot. I said, do you remember the last time you cried now? She goes, no, I can't remember. And so sometimes we elongate a grieving season in our lives, and even those painful moments, those traumas, those stresses start to really physically have a negative effect on our bodies because our bodies are not built to carry that trauma. So I want to take this moment to encourage you in any moment, in any scenario, in anything in life, please never hold on to unforgiveness. It turns into bitterness, resentment, anger, and it literally starts to negatively affect your health condition, your mind, your body. And so in the same way, we began to walk her through that. And I said, next time I see you, I'm going to ask if you've cried lately. And she was just happy about that. And, you know, you could see, you can start to see the process of healing in somebody's life. You just can. Color changes in their skin. Things start to become different. And there was more. Eyes look different. There, you know, because the eyes are the window to the soul. And there was more to it. But I know she was trying to hold back even more tears. But it's moment by moment and little by little. But in the same way, you know, even though we may not see it right then, there's a process that we can begin in somebody else's life. So, Pastor Stephanie, would you?
I just want to add one more to it. There was a really special moment on the street. It was the same street we were on. And as we left the little girl, we kept walking up the street. And there were two young men that sometimes that can be intimidating. They were about 20 years old. Kind of aloof, kind of watching us, you know, and it's the, will we walk by them or will we actually pause and be bold enough to say, to ask them if we can pray for them? And so just really felt the Lord's heart for them that he wanted us to pray. So I approached and Pastor Juan was with us and he's fluent in Spanish. And so imagine it's the two older people of the group, the little gray heads, approaching these young strapping lads, and one's slinked down on the ground sitting and the other one's standing kind of with the arms crossed like, what have you got to say? So we approach kindly, ask, and Juan takes over the conversation, which is hilarious because he's speaking in Spanish, I don't know what he's saying. Like he's introducing himself, saying a few things. Well, he comes to find out that one's a believer, one's a somewhat believer, questionable believer, and the other one's not, and the one that's not is down on the ground. And again, just really sensing, you're asking when prophecy was flowing, really sensing the Lord's heart for them and knowing in that space that he wanted to introduce himself. Jesus wanted to introduce himself. We asked if we could pray. I asked the Holy Spirit to come. I got a download, and I have to tell you, it was a slight download, and I teach this stuff in TSSM, and it's you have to cross over the barrier line of fear of whether you got something or not. And so I had to wrestle with that. I'm like, is that real? Is that really? Can you give me more? Lord wouldn't give me more. He wouldn't give me more until I stepped out in faith. And so stepping out in faith, I looked at the young man, and Juan began to translate for me, and I basically said, I get a picture of you. And I got down on the ground with him. I said, I got a picture of you. And I said, I see you by a river, and I said, you're very angry. And I said, and then the Lord just started revealing more. I said, you drive your vehicle down there when you're angry, and it's a place where you go to, like, vent and to release your emotions. And he just looked at me, and you could tell it hit. I go, does this resonate with you? And with teary eyes, he looked at me, and he's like, yes. And I go, is this something you do? And he said, yes. And I said, okay. I said, well, that picture's, that's from the Lord. And Jesus wants you to know that he is there with you. And so what I did is I began to just love him and pray for him in that space of he was known, that he was loved. I didn't push the gospel down his throat, but I actually told him that the Lord wanted to meet him. So the next time he went to the river, to actually be sensitive that Jesus was waiting for him to have conversations about who he is and who.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Shauna, I have a question for you. Because I know you love this one. Was there a moment during the trip where you had to push past fear, insecurity, or shame to obey God?
Yes. So we had a crusade two nights. We had a Friday night crusade and Saturday night crusade. And I can't remember if it was Pastor Joaquin when he was up there. He had asked the crowd, you know, if anyone, I can't remember exactly what he asked, if they were in need of prayer or what the question was. But from the platform and where they were sitting, he asked for them to raise their hand. I didn't raise my hand, but then he said, okay, for those that didn't raise your hand, I want you to go around and begin to pray for these people. And no translator around, but I thought, you know what, the Lord knows. And so I stepped out away from my little comfort zone of my little chair, and I saw some women that were kind of close to me, close by, and I just began to pray over them. I put my hand on their, they were in a posture of prayer with their hands out and their heads bowed, just kind of rocking back and forth. But I went around probably to about 3 to 4 women and just began to, I put my hands on their shoulder and just, you know, ask the Lord, you know, whatever it was that they needed. So I just began to pray with them and for them. They didn't see me, you know, they didn't turn around to see who was touching them. They were just in a receiving posture. And I think that's what I love the most from going to Honduras is, you know, when you do an altar call or you do ask, you know, does anyone need prayer? They are not fearful to raise their hand. They're not fearful to come forward and ask for prayer because they can't, many of them need healing. You know, a lot of it's healing that they need from illness or sickness. And so they can't afford to go to the doctor. But they have faith in the Lord for that healing. And so I love that for them and that he uses us just to come before them and to pray healing for them.
So it's kind of like when Peter was the one who said, even if all these other guys leave you, I never will. And we've been there. We've been there. Oh, no, I'll always step in for you. Just give me a chance, Lord. And then he does. And it's interesting that even like what Jesus did with Peter, he doesn't say, Peter, are you sorry for what you did? That tends to be our approach. Peter, what were you thinking? He says, do you love me? 3 times he says, do you love me? And I think that's what we need to grab is in those moments of our, where we're focusing on failure, God is asking, but do you love me? Because he's reminding us there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Real quickly, you got 40 seconds each at the max. What is one thing that you would tell someone who was wondering if they should come, you know, to Honduras or ever go on a mission trip or even minister, if you could tell someone who feels like they've messed up, they've done that, denied Christ, eat not once but 3 times after asking for another opportunity, what would you say based on what you have experienced?
Just do it. Like, don't hold back. Even if you just go the one time, just to experience it. It's life-changing. It will rock your world. And you may or may not ever want to go back. Like, I get a little tense each time I go, but I know the Lord has something more for me each time I go. So I would say step out in faith and just do it.
Kind of tag on to what she said. I always felt like my time was over, but God always says, your call has never gone away, and your call will not go away until you go to see Jesus. He is always calling you, just like the song says, I'm always reaching out to you. You know, my love is always pursuing you, and that's the same thing with Jesus. He is always pursuing you. Are you going to answer the call? Are you going to step forward? And I would just encourage each one of you, if you're feeling, man, I want to experience that, start praying towards it. Yeah. I did the same thing for Brazil. Pastor Stephanie invited me 1 year, and I said, well, I've already got something this year, but next year. And I just started praying, say, yeah, Lord, you provide the money. And pew, pew, it just started flying in. And so it's just up to you. It's like, Lord, are you going to do it? Are you going to step forward? And it's just life-changing. It is life-changing.
No shame.
Okay. For me, I want to say, your mission is not, it doesn't start on the plane.
It's not just going outside of the country. It starts here locally. And that's how actually I met Nathan. I was doing missions in my home country, in my backyard, basically. That's how we met. And it doesn't start when you step on the plane and where you go in the streets. It starts here. It starts at Walmart. It starts in your home. And, you know, it's for us right now. It's for the whole church. It's not for the missionaries, the pastors, the leaders. It's for us, the church. So I just want to encourage you. Yeah. Like if you see, we have an October mission trip coming up. I'm sure we'll have plenty of Honduras mission trips in the future. But if you have that, like, love of the Lord, and if he had done something good in you, you just say that to someone else, and that's missions.
Okay, last but not least, you're all called. You're all called. The Lord has a plan for each of you, and he invites you into his plan. And one of those is the mission field of locally, which I love you said that. So our own homes are a mission field first, and then the community he's given you, the places he's planted you, those are your mission fields. But we invite you also to go overseas and do a word study. If you need to do a word study about whether you've been chosen or not, look up how many times it says that you were chosen, that was chosen, that Paul says, I was chosen. That's you. So you have a place in it. So don't let fear get in the way of it. And I'm going to tell you, it'll be a marker in your life. That what happens is we have these things in our life that change us, and it's substantial. And going on a mission trip, especially to a third world country, is extremely marking, because you also come back knowing full well the blessings that you have before you. And then you're challenged with, how do I steward what I have when so many have so less? And it really changes us. You will think you're going to go change them. You're going to go change and make a difference, but it's going to change you on the inside.
Thank you. What does he say? He doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. Hey, I want to show a video, because maybe you're thinking, well, I'm never going out of the country, or I can't get out of the country because of my past, or whatever the case may be. We've seen that being rewritten. But nevertheless, right here in your own hometown, in your backyard, on June 27th, we have something for you. I want to show you this video. We're going to have a night out with Jesus. Let's see if we can get this rolling.
So we're working with about a dozen other churches around the nation. And on June 27th, we're going to have a night out with Jesus. What does that mean? It looks like the money you would spend on going out on a date that night, we're going to ask you to go ahead, give that through the church. We're going to create a campaign. We'll have a central meeting place. We'll divvy out according to the plan of action for the night. And there may be going to laundromats, giving pizzas out from Little Caesars, going to Walmart, praying for people, going to the gas stations, whatever it is that the Lord is leading us to do for that night. We're going to rally up in a central spot. We're going to go out in teams. We'll come back after a couple hours, have a little time of community and sharing what God did. And so, like we've talked about, just stepping into the moment, watching God move, and being a part of His movement right here in Athens, Texas. So if you're interested, here's a QR code. You're going to hear a lot more about this as we get closer to June 27th. You're not going to stop hearing about it. It is really important for us to get outside of the walls and truly be the church in the community that we've been called to lead, to love, and to steward well. So thank you guys so much for being up here. Would y'all give it up for these guys? Being so brave. And I want to pray for you because maybe you're like, oh man, I don't know. I'm so afraid, or I'm that guy. I'm Terry in this story. Well, that's okay, because I was Terry in this story as well. The enemy always wants to use the same tactics. Oh, they'll find out what you did in your past. You know what I started doing? I just started telling people. And I found more healing, more liberation from confessing and talking. And the more I got that stuff out of the way, the more the Holy Spirit, I made room for the Holy Spirit to heal me, to work in me, to give me wisdom and insight. And then it was, oh, God will never use you like that. And so I just started going after it and praying for people, sharing the love of Jesus, sharing the love of Christ, no matter where I was. It became my initiative. I started setting goals. I'm going to pray for at least 3 people this week. And I'm going to kind of think about, how did that go? How did I feel in that scenario? And I pushed myself. I know that sounds strange, but sometimes we just have to set a bar for ourselves to make ourselves go after it. And so if you're here and you're there and that's what you're dealing with and you've dealt with, I just want to pray for you right now. So if you will, allow me to pray for you. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you bring comfort. You are the comforter. You're the one who brings peace. Lord, you bring everything that we need. Right now, for anyone who's struggling with this and who's been there and understands, maybe they've denied you, Christ, 3 times, and they're wondering, how could he ever, why would he even want to use me? And Satan is there shaming, guilting, condemning. I just want you to hear the voice of Jesus coming through me right now is, do you love me? And if yes answers that question, then I'm telling you right now, you are fertile ground for God to use you. So do you love me? Do you love me? And Holy Spirit, right there, in that place, I ask that you begin to fill every person up with love, with understanding, with an empowerment that's so fresh, so real, so transformative. And I just want you to ask right now, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me right now? In the same voice that you're hearing right now, I want to encourage you to listen to that voice. If he's leading you to be with us on June 27th, be there, be all in, be all a part of that. But I also want you to listen to that voice this week, on Monday morning, on Tuesday, in your meetings, in your family affairs, when you're parenting your kids. Because I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit has great things for us all. And at the end of this, if you just need encouragement today, our team, our prayer team, and this team that was on the platform, I'm asking them to be here. Because it may just be that God has a word for you today. Normally we show our slide for tithes and offerings, but you know that. You know where to find those boxes. You know where to find the envelopes. We love you. God bless you.